T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. It's 10:08 WTIC News Talk 1080. This is the Will Moradi Show. Your host, Will Moradi, Matt Sorais, our master of ceremonies, taking your calls, 860-522-9842. You know, if you've listened to the program for any amount of time, you know that I'm interested in a lot of things, but one of the great, great passions in my life is racing and motorsports, and we've been involved in some racing over the past few years. But I got to say, of all the time we've been involved, last night might have been, I might have been more excited last night than any other time that I've been involved in motorsports. I've got someone on the line right now who I'm thinking shared that excitement. Joining me now from Tulsa, Oklahoma, is Brent Cox. Brent is the owner of Abacus Racing. Brent, welcome to the show.
Well, great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
So I can only imagine what your response was, but I was screaming, jumping up and down wildly last night. Before we go into the reason why, tell us, why are you in Tulsa? What's going on? Explain kind of the whole deal.
So Tulsa, Oklahoma, every year hosts the largest dirt race in the world. So the Chili Bowl Nationals are in January of every year, and they run dirt midgets. And there's about 370 of them here. It's an event that starts last Sunday and will end this Saturday night. And it is an event, you know, we often call it the Indy 500 of midget racing. Mm-hmm. It is just a fantastic event with tons of fanfare. So that's why we're in Tulsa. And
for folks that aren't familiar with the term,
you're excited, I'm excited.
Brent, for folks that aren't familiar with the term, because the casual fan who doesn't understand, you know, they know NASCAR, full-bodied cars. And they may know IndyCar, Formula One. Describe a midget. You know, what's it look like? Kind of engine? How fast does it go? What's a midget like?
So a midget is it's an open wheel car. It's a smaller car. It you know, to try to give some people some context, it kind of looks like a dune buggy in a way. Mm-hmm. It's got, you know, big kind of rubber fat tires on it and a narrow chassis. And it's no ground effects, no wings or anything like that. Just mm-hmm. basically a chassis holds a motor, a driver, and four tires.
Yeah, and got a big roll bar on it, roll cage, right?
It's got a roll bar on it. Mm-hmm. It's got a four-cylinder. The midgets run a four-cylinder engine. They run about 400 horsepower. The power-to-weight ratio on these little cars is really unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And they will go, you know, they don't get up super fast. It's only a one-fifth mile track. They call it more of a bull ring. So they'll get up to, you know, probably 70, 80 miles an hour as they go into the turns. But it's a great form of racing. It's constant excitement. I mean, there's just, when you run a race, especially, you know, once you get into a feature race and there's 24 cars, there's just action all over the track. So it's just a great and fun racing series and racing discipline.
And this isn't like a lot of tracks like in the Northeast. It's not pavement. You call it dirt. It's really, is it kind of like clay, packed down clay? Yeah. What's the surface?
And that is, it is dirt, but there's a lot of different surfaces and different tracks and different regions, to your point, will have a different style of dirt, right? Some might be a lot of clay, some might be a lot more, you know, dirt might be denser, thinner. You know, they have to bring the dirt in. So it's run at the Tulsa Expo Center. They build this track every year, and all the trucks and everything are in one section with all the cars and trailers and then the track. And so they bring this dirt in. And you want the dirt to be dense enough that it'll absorb water. So you have to continually water down the track and mm-hmm. pack it down. Mm-hmm. Because then as the cars drive on it, it will lay down rubber. And so then they have to continually grate the track. Mm. Because if you don't, it'll just get so dry. It'll just be dusty and slick, and it's really hard to pass. So they have to kind of, as they say, juice the track up a little bit so mm-hmm. it can kind of be run high and low, because you'll get cars running different lines. Some drivers will go high, some will go low. And so it's amazing the track prep work they have to do. It's constant because they want it to be as.
I was surprised just watching last night how much prep time there is in between heats, in between what's going on. It's like they're constantly resurfacing, constantly. You know, it's almost like hockey where they get the Zamboni out there and have to take care of the ice. Except they do it more frequently. It seems like with that racing than they do with hockey, right?
They do, and they really want to make sure that they can keep the track in a way that it's fair for the competitors, so that, they try to keep the track so it's as consistent as possible, so it's constant, because those cars are laying down so much downforce mm-hmm. and so much rubber. If you don't, then the racing would be, you wouldn't see the racing you saw last night otherwise.
Yeah. So a little background story here. So you are the owner of Abacus Racing, which is a motorsports team, and this is the field you compete in is midget racing. How long has Abacus Racing been in existence?
It'll be 2 years this April. I formed the team, and we had our first race later that year at the BC39, which is the dirt track they have inside Turn 3 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So it was our mm-hmm. first race in July of 2021.
Mm-hmm. And by day you're an accountant. And for full transparency here, we have, you know, I live in Connecticut, and so I have a Connecticut accountant, but we do most of our business in Indianapolis. So we have an Indianapolis accountant, and you're our accountant in Indianapolis. And and you called, I don't know what, 2 months ago, whatever, and proposed the idea of kind of teaming together here and getting our theme, our Marotti Autosport theme, Spirit of Speedway, getting it on one of your cars. And that's what we did, right?
We did. I think it has been very well received. It was a lot of people taking pictures of the car last night in our paddock area, and I had people coming up and asking questions about it. And so we did it, and I think it's working out pretty well so far.
So tell us about the driver, Daniel Whitley from California. Tell us about Daniel.
Daniel is, it's funny. We had a prior driver who had been racing with us since the inception. She decided to kind of step down from racing, and so we had a void we needed to fill. And my crew, which is all California-based, they work out of Indianapolis now, knew Daniel. And young kid, 18 years old, from Ferndale, California, and they really felt like he would be an excellent replacement to give him a shot. And he has just been a joy to work with, a really good kid, gracious for the opportunity, walked around, I think, and hugged everybody in our area, in our paddock area last night after the race. He was so happy after the evening that he had. Mm-hmm. And so just a great, fantastic kid.
So they run a series. So there's like 370 cars. They run all week, and they run many, many, many heats, qualifiers, main feature events. And so last night was the night scheduled for Daniel for Abacus Racing. And so came out in heat number one. And first time, right? He's a rookie there. Hasn't driven there
before. He's a rookie. He's never done the Chili Bowl before.
And he comes out in heat number one. Tell us what he did in heat number one.
Well, so he starts third. So what they do is it's a blind pill draw where you go. And so to be quick, your whole point in your heat race and your qualifying race is passing points. So the farther you move up, you gain points. So you don't necessarily want to start on pole. You want to start kind of in the mid pack so you can pass some cars and get more points. Mm-hmm. You start in third, and coming for turn four, green flag goes, the guy in front of him takes off and then just stops. And so Daniel rams his car up on the back of the guy on the pole and then pulls into the infield. Daniel's reaction to pull the car into the infield to keep it running was one of the most crucial things that he did all night, because if that car would have stalled, then he would have had to start in the back. But he kept it going. And what happened, the car in front of him, the battery fell out of that guy's car, so it just died. So Daniel ramps up, and of course I'm in the stands thinking, you know, if there's damage to the car, we're kind of done before the season started. I mean, we didn't even get to turn one. He was able to move up into the pole position because they just moved the cars up the line. And as you witnessed, Daniel took it and led all eight laps and never looked back and got a heat race win.
So I don't know for you, for us, that was the first. Firstly, it's the first time the Spirit of Speedway has been on a physical car. You know, this is a theme that we're trying to put forward in the Indy 500. Hasn't happened yet. We hope it's going to happen. So it was the first time there was actual, other than a show car, a physical car that had Spirit of Speedway at number one. And it's the first race we ever won. So, you know, we were in complete insane mode. How did you feel about Daniel winning last night?
It was fantastic, you know, because when you start something like Abacus, you know, there are two events that I look at every year as cornerstone events for me, and that's the BC 39 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, because of my love, just like your love of that track, right? To do anything at IMS is a big deal. And then the Chili Bowl. And so to think about where this team came from, April of 21, to say we won a heat race. So we've actually won a physical race at the greatest midget race in the world. Was I ran down to the car. They're interviewing him on Flow Racing, and I'm just taking pictures, and just, you know, all these people are taking pictures of the car. He's being interviewed, and you can imagine, just like you, it was just such a neat thing to see.
And did a great job with the interview too. I mean, I was so honored that he remembered us in the interview and mentioned it was really a cool thing. It was really
To me, just interject, I think that's the hardest thing about this sometimes. You know, he is an 18-year-old.
He's a kid.
He's a kid, right? Yeah. He's a young kid. And to just have done what he's done, you know, you're out of breath, right? You literally are a minute from the race. You've just wheeled this car. You know, there's no power steering. There's no power brakes. It's all him moving that car around. And the next thing you know, you're being interviewed. And Flow Racing's got a pretty good subscription base, right? So, you know, and
thousands
go through what he did. He did a great job.
Yeah. No, I was thrilled. Of course, you know, I sent out, I don't know how many emails, how many text messages last night. It was like, I felt like a father, you know, I just had my first kid kind of thing, right? It's like, oh my gosh.
Just the way he was after the end of the night, he went around and hugged everybody. I think he hugged people he didn't know. Like, hey, thanks for everything. And he just was so happy.
So the night progresses, he wins the heat, gets a lot of points, which moves him into the kind of the next round, ends up struggling a little bit, and then he had to do well in a qualifier race to get into the main feature for last night. And he did. He finished fourth in that qualifying race, and he's, you know, some of the best. There was, what, 70 some odd cars last night that he was in competition with. So I mean, he's some of the best drivers in the world were there last night. If you think of Cody Swanson, Rico Abreu, these guys are, they've been doing this for years and they're pros. And here's a kid coming in, never even drove there before. And he's competing and finishing ahead of some of these guys. And the main feature last night. So what, he starts in what, like 24th place?
He started 24th. So to your point, he finished fourth in his B, which is the worst position he could have. Yes. Yeah, so he started last in that race. In the A feature.
And there was a huge crash in the beginning with the young driver, Ashton...
Torgensen.
And I'm glad the cameras didn't stay on it, because I think his helmet came off, and that's what I was concerned about when I first saw the crash. He's okay, though,
so
right?
You know,
I mean,
he's fine. He actually completely came out of the car.
He did, okay. He came out of the car completely, physically.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm glad we didn't see that part.
But he is actually fine.
But he's fine.
He's fine.
Okay. So there was a long delay between getting him to the ambulance, getting him in the ambulance, getting him. There was a long delay, and then there's a restart. And there was still a lot of rock'em sock'em robot going on during the restart. And Daniel ends up finishing where?
12th.
12th out of 24. He moves up to 12. Now, does he get points for moving up that many spots?
So what it does, he doesn't get any points for that, but what it does is it puts him in a position to where he will start on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So the higher up you finish, so baking the A main, the worst that he would start, no matter what, was the E main on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But finishing where he finished, he will be in the C main, which is fantastic because wow. He then has a chance to move through the C main to the B and then the B to the A. So he's giving himself a chance to make the A main. Wow. on Saturday night, which is royalty to make that race.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, that legends, NASCAR champions, yeah. I mean, all kinds of people have been at over the years. But I got to tell you, we're so excited about this. I'm so grateful that you gave us the chance to do this, whole team is. And now, if people want to watch it Saturday, how do they watch it?
So it's everything is streamed on Flow Racing. It's a subscription-based service.
Yep.
It's $150 a year, which seems like a lot, but it's 12 months. And really the great thing about the Flow Sports package is it carries lots of other sports. ECHL hockey is on there.
Oh, okay.
So it's that's what they would have to do though. There's racing again tonight. We race our second car tonight. And then there's racing Friday night and then the big day on Saturday.
And tell us about your second car. Your second driver is
Dylan Welch.
Dylan is a
Carmel,
right?
Indiana native. I've known Dylan for years through his father, Vince Welch, who has been a NASCAR pit reporter. And Dylan has actually made the A-Main twice in the Chili Bowl. And so we're excited to see what he does tonight.
Okay. Well, listen, again, we're so grateful for the chance to partner with you and get the Spirit of Speedway out there, get our first win under our belt. It was pretty exciting. And I want to wish you the best through tonight. And then we'll see what happens Saturday. A lot of us will be watching on Saturday. And
I'm excited to see what the young man does.
Yep. All right. Brent Cox, thank you so much. Have a good rest of your week, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. We'll take care of you too.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, take a couple more calls. 860-522-9842. Jazz Shaw, hotair.com on at 10:35. We're going to talk more about other things, not just the document debacle. But we'll take some calls when we get back and then Jazz Shaw a little bit later. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
To the Will Marotti Show on WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, welcome back. 10:38 WTIC News Talk 1080. So much going on in the news, more than just this document debacle for the president, but we'll talk about that. Joining us now on the hotline, as is our custom Thursdays, we have the weekend editor of hotair.com, which is where I go almost daily for news and commentary, and I suggest you do as well. Jazz Shaw joining us from Hot Air. Jazz, welcome back.
Brother Will, how you doing, sir? Busy
doing
day.
Well, doing well. It is a busy day. And before I get into the things that you've specifically written and posted recently, I just want to get your take on this whole classified document Biden thing. You know, mainstream doing all they can to distance what happened with Biden from Trump, and Trump's a criminal, but Biden's not, and Trump should be given the electric chair, but Biden shouldn't be. How do you see it?
Well, I'll start off maybe with a surprising comment. I do want to give the White House staff, maybe not Biden specifically, because I think most of the time he doesn't really know what's going on, but I want to give them credit for, at least as far as we know, doing this on their own.
Yeah.
They conducted a review, they found the documents, and instead of burning them or trying to quietly slip them back into the archive or something, they came out and said, yeah, we found this, and we've turned them over to the Justice Department, which was the right thing to do.
It's the right thing
to
do, sure.
Yeah, there's that. But that doesn't change the fact that those documents had to get where they were somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear, like, the people on CNN saying, oh, it was probably just some staffer packing things up, you know, and didn't realize what they were doing, which Trump never got the benefit of that doubt. But it still happened. And the first batch that were in that Penn University office, those were from when he was vice president, right? So, I mean, Trump, in theory, I'm still not familiar with the exact defined method of doing it is, as president, he could declassify anything he wanted. The vice president is not in that chain of command. He does not have that ability.
Right.
So
right.
He or somebody took top secret documents out
right.
and stored them in a non-secure location, and that's against the law.
And
I don't know.
The second, and here's the thing that really bothers me about it, and I think this will prove to be the second case of Biden election tampering. I refer to the first one as the Hunter Biden story when it came out in October 2020. We were all told it was false. It was Russian disinformation, and everybody tried to teach, you know, give us that line. 51 intelligence operatives. We knew that the White House was having communication now with social media platforms and trying to either get them to say things or get them to not say things or censor people. We knew all that's going on. But now we have a situation where these documents, although they were found prior to the midterms, we didn't hear about it until after the midterms. I wonder if there might have been, just like there was a poll taken, a Gallup poll said 17% of the people voted for Biden said they would have likely changed their vote had they known the truth about the Hunter Biden laptop story. I wonder if this is almost now the second time where we have some form of election tampering by withholding information, both connected to the Biden family.
I think that's a definite possibility. And the other thing that, to my knowledge, we don't know yet, but I haven't been following it maybe as closely as you have, is we know that first batch at Penn State came from when he was vice president. What about this new batch that not only wasn't in an office, was at his private residence?
Yeah, yeah.
Were those from the VP days too, or are these recent documents? Because that would change the story for me.
Sure, it could dramatically change. I'd say one thing: I would not want to be Attorney General Merrick Garland right now, because he's potentially between a rock and a hard place. Either he has to say, "Hey, you know, Trump was wrong, criminal investigation," and has to do the same thing with Joe Biden, or he has to say, "Well, this isn't so bad for Biden what Biden did," and then he has to let Trump off the hook as well. I don't think you can have it both ways here.
Oh, in a normal world, I would agree with you, but I wouldn't put anything past this administration. They can be completely two-faced.
Yeah.
Good for the goose, not good for the gander, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll see, man.
Well, you've got quite a roundup here of articles I want to touch on. One is, and it really speaks to why I was so wanting to get the speaker thing settled sooner than later. They have now apparently at least one Republican congressperson has filed articles of impeachment against Department of Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And I think, yeah, amen. I'm good with that. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. And this ties into the story we were just talking about, because in my opinion, I think you're going to be seeing articles of impeachment against Merrick Garland, too. They just haven't come out yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Okay. But as far as Mayorkas goes, yeah, that was a no-brainer, I thought. That they were talking about it well before the Congress was seated. It was just a question of who was going to do it and when. They got him on two counts that they're charging for impeachment. One of them is a misdemeanor. The other one's a felony. Mm-hmm. And it all ties into failing to uphold the law, which clearly has been happening. Mm-hmm. And the other one was lying under oath to Congress when he went in twice before and took an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, et cetera, and said, hey, the border's secure. And I don't know what his definition of secure is, but yeah, it's I think they've had him cold to rights. The question is, can they get every single Republican to vote for impeachment? I don't know if that's known yet. Mm-hmm. A lot of people aren't saying.
Okay.
And even if they do, will the Senate? Well, the Senate has to.
Yeah.
They have to take it up constitutionally, but they won't. You know, impeach one of their own people. So
no, definitely not. But again, this is the reason I wanted to get the speakership thing settled. I'm glad the rules were changed. I'm glad the Freedom Caucus stood their ground and got that done. But you've got that. You've got also this. This was reported by your own John Sexton. That not only House Republicans, they offered it, but Democrats joined to form a select committee to investigate China. Yes, thank you. And then we also formed a committee to investigate the weaponization of the federal government. So these are the kinds of things I wanted this Republican House to do, and they couldn't do it because they weren't even sworn in yet waiting for the speaker. So now some of this action is taking place. I'm looking forward to it because I think at least – depending on the coverage it gets from the mainstream, at least we'll get some of this stuff out in the open. We'll have more hopefully transparency.
Yeah, I've been impressed with them because remember, we're talking about a really short period of time since the speaker was sworn in. It's not even a week. Mm-hmm. And they've passed things that, as we already said, aren't going to pass in the Senate. But they've shown they are serious about clawing back all the money for the IRS. They passed that. You know, they're getting stuff done.
Yeah.
They don't have a partner in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And of course, anything that got through both would get vetoed by Biden anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But they're demonstrating that they're serious, that they're paying attention to the conservative agenda, and that they do have the ability to come together and govern and get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it may not amount to a ton of change except for the investigations, which are really important. But I also think they're setting themselves up better for 2024, and the critics who are saying, oh, look, these guys are so confused and befuddled and they can't even elect a speaker, that they're not going to do anything. I think they're shooting that narrative down pretty quickly.
I totally agree. I think you're 100% right. Now, I've never liked New York politics, and I've never liked, you know, I didn't like Andrew Cuomo. I'm glad what happened with Andrew. I certainly don't like the current governor, Kathy Hochul. But this is beyond the pale. We're supposed to be saying that there's some public safety concern with something that's been used for over 100 years, which is gas appliances. Now that she not only wants to outlaw the gas stove, which came out of the White House, she wants to outlaw all gas appliances.
Right, including water heaters
furnaces, everything.
You know, just the whole thing. There's a lot of stuff in. Like 41% of the private homes and 60% of all buildings in the United States have gas appliances, and particularly gas heaters.
Sure.
And yeah, they want to outlaw all of that. But we should point out, just today, the White House backed down from that after the big outcry. And no, it was yesterday afternoon. And Corinne Jean-Pierre was asked that question, and she said, no, the president has no interest in banning gas stoves, and we have no plans along those lines. So they're walking back from that, I think, because they saw how many people were going absolutely crazy for good reason.
Well, the restaurants, chefs, there's not a chef in the world who wants to cook on an electric stove. I mean,
no.
It's insane. But this is all climate stuff. They just another. They want to put another spin on how they can shut down the production of natural gas, which is, by the way, booming again here in the United States because of the shortages. And I shared an article yesterday about Chesapeake Energy. They are a fracking company. They had declared bankruptcy, but there's been such a turnaround last year. Last year they had $1.3 billion in sales. They gave out $800 million in dividends to the shareholders, and their business is out of control again. So, you know, they can try to shut down fossil fuels. They can try to get us to believe that solar and wind is the pathway to the future. They can try to outlaw gas stoves. I don't know where they were going to go with it. Gas stoves, furnaces, water heaters, gas grills. We're going to have electric grills outside. I don't know where it goes. But what's wrong with your governor? What is wrong with your governor?
Don't give them ideas, man. They haven't quite come after my gas grill yet. Although I should say that I just told a fib. I have not had a gas grill in a long time. I'm even worse for the climate people because I prefer charcoal. I just like the way the steak stays, the way they come out and stuff.
I agree. Yeah.
I use charcoal. I used to have a gas grill, though. But don't give her ideas.
It's got a smoker and it's got pellets and, you know, I mean, I don't have the patience for that stuff. I mean, I'm sure it's delicious, but you got to smoke it for like 6 hours or 8 hours. I just want to slap the burger on there and eat it. You know, that's what
exactly.
So
as far as Kathy Hochul goes, what's up with her? I don't know. She's trying to really, she used to be more, I don't want to use the word centrist, but somewhat more moderate because she represents one of the Western, represented one of the Western more rural areas before she got picked to be lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. And now she's trying to impress everybody in New York City. And they were worried initially that she couldn't even get elected on her own because she wouldn't get the New York City vote. But she snuck through. And so, yeah, now she's got to be very much more AOC than Joe Manchin, you know, where she used to be more of a Manchin type figure. So, yeah, she's just ramming the climate agenda down everybody's throats.
Is she chumming with Eric Adams? Are they close?
They've come to verbal blows several times so far. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they try to put on a good face on everything. But, yeah, they've been fighting because Eric Adams wants the bail reform law repealed. Mm-hmm. And she's absolutely refusing to do it.
Yeah.
You know. So that's one of the things they're fighting about. And there have been other issues. Adams didn't like the lockdowns going on as long as they did, and Hochul wanted the lockdowns to continue. And same thing with the vaccine mandates. So, yeah, they've disagreed on a number of things.
All right. I don't know much about this story other than what the headlines have said, and you wrote a piece on this yesterday about the six-year-old that shot the teacher. Give us some backstory there. What happened with this whole thing, and where is it right now in terms of investigation stage?
Newport News, West Virginia elementary school, a six-year-old first grader shows up with a backpack, like all kids carry backpacks, mm-hmm. goes into class, and the teacher's teaching the class, and then the kid, apparently without saying a word, stands up, pulls a loaded 9mm handgun out of his backpack and shoots the teacher. The bullet goes, she had her in a defensive posture, the bullet goes through her hand and still had enough oomph to go well into her chest. And she still managed, after all that, to grab all the kids and herd them together and get them out of the room and away from the gun before she finally collapsed from blood loss. So everybody's
like, did she
survive?
Is she still alive?
Oh, yeah. She's alive. She's in the hospital. Yeah. She's expected to recover.
And so
where did this kid get the gun? It was his mother's gun.
Yeah.
And that's all we know. The police have been talking to the parents, but they haven't released any more details beyond that. They haven't released the family's name, but they've been interviewing them and they're trying to figure out what they can do. You can't prosecute the kid under Virginia law. Mm-hmm. He can't be tried as an adult and he can't be put into a juvenile detention facility at 6 years old.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much just going to have to get counseling and that's it. And now they're asking if maybe they can prosecute the parents. They don't have a must keep your firearm safely secured law like other states do.
Oh, you're kidding. The closest,
no, they don't have one of those. So they can't prosecute her for that. There is one law they might be able to get her on, or two of them, reckless endangerment of a child, if they can convince a jury that leaving the gun unsecured was presenting a danger to the child and others, which clearly it did. They might be able to get around that. But other than that, it's the laws in Virginia, the way they currently stand, they're not going to be able to do much about this.
This is insane. I mean, I Connecticut obviously has, you know, secure gun laws. I mean, but even if we didn't, I would not leave a gun laying around my house with kids. I mean, I would make sure it was in a safe. I don't know how people are thinking.
I took a lot of flack because I commented in my articles and on social media, and I've been getting a lot of blowback because I said, you know what? I don't know if they can prosecute her for anything, but somebody ought to come take that lady's guns away. Because she's just way too irresponsible. And then I got yelled at. Oh, you don't believe in gun confiscation, but you want them to confiscate her gun. I was like, well, yeah.
When her six-year-old's walking around with it, yeah, sure, of course. I mean, it just is irresponsible. And, of course, we don't have any motive, any idea, any what was the kid thinking? Did he hate the teacher? You know, we don't know any
They did say there was a previous they used the word altercation. There was an altercation or an argument of some sort between that student and the teacher. They had been, I don't know if she was, you know, punishing him for something. They didn't specify, but there was an altercation. So apparently he was pretty mad at her, mad enough to go get a gun and shoot her.
I mean, it didn't come as a result of a TikTok challenge, like, you know, shoot your teacher in school today day or something, right?
No, and the kid also, he should be noted, didn't shoot anybody else. It wasn't a school shooting. He didn't just start shooting up the place. He came there specifically to shoot her, and he carried out his plan.
Wow, that is insane. All right, last topic, and it's a hot button for both of us. Apparently today in San Antonio, there's going to be a protest, a rally of some sort with the female athletes asking to stop the madness with letting transgender, you know, whoever compete against them in athletics. What's going on with that?
Yeah, apparently I just checked online and it's already getting started and it's going to be going for a while. Mm-hmm. The NCAA is having their annual convention. It moves around this year. It's in San Antonio. And they have been asked repeatedly to change their rules and prevent men from competing against women in women's sports in the NCAA. And they've just refused. And they're sort of towing the government line. So this one group got together a coalition of women's rights groups that crosses a very broad spectrum. And they started a petition. It's been going on for a while. They got tens, if not hundreds of thousands of signatures. And they were going to be printing them all out overnight and showing up and handing them to the heads of the NCAA just as they're getting ready to start their convention. Mm-hmm. And the petition calls on them to finally change the rules and insist that biological sex, God, I hate that phrase, has to be the determiner of who gets to compete in women's sports. And so we'll see how they respond. I mean, they're going to be under a lot of pressure from this, but there's no guarantee it'll work. But I praise them for trying.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is just gotten so, even in Connecticut, and I thought the town that I live in Wallingford, Connecticut, was, you know, fairly rational and common sense driven. But I found out that there's all kinds of this stuff going on in our schools. I mean, you know, routinely boys dressed as girls going into women's rooms and, you know, the pronoun thing. And I'm so disappointed. I'm so disappointed. Another reason that eventually I will not live in Connecticut because it's just insanity. And here's
one of the speakers today in San Antonio is from Connecticut. As a matter of fact, it's one of the
girls, probably
mothers of one of the girls who lost her scholarship, lost her chance because of those two boys that were competing and setting all those records in high school track.
Cleaner and block. Yeah,
they're going to be speaking today.
Good. Well, you know, we're going to do all we can to push back on it, but it's just frustrating to me that in the town that I've always thought was conservative and common sense driven, that this is right under my nose that's going on. So I'm so disappointed, so turned off. Anyway, hey Jazz, thanks so much. Busy weekend for you, I'm sure, as always. And then we'll be looking for what you post, and then hopefully we have you on next week.
Great. Talk to you then. Have a good one.
Jazz Shaw, weekend editor, hotair.com. Guys, I'm out of time. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thank you, David X. Sullivan. Thank you, Brett Cox, Abacus Racing. Remember, the Chili Bowl will be happening all through the rest of this week. His second car, second drive, will be racing tonight And then we'll see how our car, Car 57 Spirit of Speedway, does with Daniel Whitley at the wheel on Saturday. We hope he gets to the final. Maybe he wins the whole darn thing. Wouldn't that be great? I'd love it if it happened. Anyway, Matt, thank you so much. Joey, thank you so much. God bless you guys. Stay warm. Stay dry. A little bit of flurries out there. I love you, and talk to you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.